Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
And it's just getting busier and more energetic, and there are more people everywhere you look now. I mean, compared to yesterday, there's good twice as many people here today as there was yesterday. 6,000 credentialed journalists from all around the globe.
Well, they're getting word that we had shrimp yesterday and catfish today, and the word is spreading like wildfire through the convention.
Well, I think that's why Will Gavin is here.
I can't help, David, feel like that's a comment on my substantial carriage and how large I am.
That was no comment on your body. None at all.
There's fried food to be had. I will be there. Don't you worry.
Will Gavin, Talk Sport Radio UK, joins us. You know, Will, we've been talking about the international impact and influence, the large contingent of reporters and sports writers from, internationally here. And we were very kind of curious to hear from one of you guys as to your perspective and your spin on this whole event.
Yeah, look, I did my first Super Bowl was 49 in Arizona. It was the first time we had a radio row table. We did the whole thing, went in not really knowing what to expect. Like, I'd loved the sport for 10 or 15 years before that, but it was the first chance to come out and cover it. And at that point, we were the only international agency with a table at all. And not just from Europe or from Britain.
10 years ago, like, you were the only foreign radio station.
I think there was one from like ESPN Deportes, which there were some of the Mexican guys on, and that was it.
Wow.
There was nothing from Britain, nothing from Europe, and you see it now. We've got a little, they've put us into kind of a little like European section over there, where there's like us, the guys from DAZN,
the European sector,
the Irish guys, all of this lot.
Like, where are you actually set? Where's your home base?
We're based in London, so
okay.
TalkSport are like, we're kind of like the ESPN of UK radio, right? Like, we're the biggest sports radio network in the UK. We have the exclusive rights to the Premier League and the football out there, but we also do the NFL every Sunday.
Yeah, and by football, you mean soccer.
Yeah, sorry. We're the home of soccer for my American brethren, and we are also the home of football. So we do NFL every Sunday. We have like 14 straight hours through all of the games, through Sunday night football. And then we do live commentary for all the London games, the international games, and then here this week and doing play-by-play on Sunday.
Absolutely. I mean,
you'll be doing play-by-play of the Super Bowl.
I am doing play-by-play of the Super Bowl. This will be my third one doing play-by-play instead of hosting it. I come from like a soccer commentary background. It's a very different sport to do play-by-play on compared to soccer. Like, so much more technical, but I'm really lucky that by being down here on Radio Row every year, by making friends with lots of the other radio guys, like, I was lucky that guys like Greg Papa from San Francisco have, like, really kind of a little bit of taken under the wing and listened to my stuff and given me some feedback. And, like, we try and give it a bit of a British twist. Like, we try and be as authentic and technical and give everything that kind of an NFL audience would want. But give it a little bit of English twist right. and English fun as well. Like, make it, sure it's got.
Is there a little fun. English lingo around
I
the
did,
game?
I,
y'all
I did.
Refer to certain things differently?
So not necessarily. And like, one thing I find myself, I slip up on every now and again when I am having to kind of code switch between doing soccer and football is, like, I will... Every now and again, I'll do a defense instead of a defense when I'm talking about the Premier League, and people will be like, what's this guy? Like, they will jump down your throat for saying the wrong thing. It's like, you know, it's like if you covered tennis and you said 15-0 instead of 15-love. Like, tennis fans would kill you.
But just
right?
the difference between defense and defense.
Yeah, defense and defense is the one that seems to catch me out more than anything else. The only time I found myself going full British on a call, and like, I didn't do this on purpose. I never wanted it to be a gimmick or anything. But there was a big play in last year's Super Bowl. I think it might have been the Christian McCaffrey fumble. And I shouted blimey on the call. it just spewed out of my mouth. I didn't mean for it to. And that ends up being the bit that they clipped up. And they put out on NFL Films as like, they do like a compilation of all the international comms. And the bit that goes on there from me, from years of hard work and everything else, is me going, blimey! Like, oh, just...
That's stereotypical British.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it really hurt. But, you know, maybe I'll try and throw more of that in. Maybe I'll get really British this weekend.
That could be valued. So we often hear that the love of American football has really taken off in Europe. Your sense?
Hugely. The difference between when the Giants and Dolphins first came over in 2007 now. So we are closing in on 20 years. But that kind of 15-plus years of bringing actual competitive games of football over has made a huge, huge difference in the market. And I think back to, like, American football had this big boon in the 80s, right, where it was put on mainstream terrestrial television, so you didn't have to have a special cable service or anything like that to watch it, and you could watch the Super Bowl. And what you find is there's these gluts of fans of teams like the Bears, the 49ers, the Cowboys, who come from that era, who love those teams. But really, when they started to bring the games over, when NFL UK started to kind of breed that new fan base, and we got into an era where now you can, you know, we've all got Game Pass and can stream any game anytime.
Right.
I'm on the plane with the all 22 downloaded onto my iPad, watching it and making notes, and the guys next to me is like, what are you doing? I was like, I'm just getting ready for the game. It's just like, it's so accessible now that it's become so much more open, and no longer do you need to be the weirdo that stays up till 5 in the morning to watch your team because they're on Sunday Night Football. And I think that just level of accessibility, the bringing the team, the games over, it's gone from a point where, like, on a casual fan base perspective, we used to, there'd be like one other guy in the TalkSport offices who knew about the NFL. I actually started a podcast with a buddy of mine, Ollie, who, when I first joined there 15 years ago, he was like the only other guy in the office who cared. Now we've got like 4 fantasy leagues running and the presenters are involved. And like, it's become like such a huge deal.
Well, and that popularity has discussions underway. There was talk that maybe Jacksonville moves to London. Maybe there's an expansion NFL team that will be based somewhere in Europe. What are you hearing about that over there? Does the NFL permanently put a team across the pond?
So my sense, if you'd asked me this question 5 years ago, I'd have said in the next 15 years, London will have a team. I was that convinced about it. And I think the NFL was. I think, like, it's been a pivot over the last 5 years or so, right? And actually seeing the money that Shad Khan and his family are now investing in Jacksonville on redeveloping the area around the stadium, on building, like, your family place and all of that stuff that they're doing, I'd be stunned if they move the team fully out of the market now with all that investment. I think the comments from Roger Goodell yesterday during his press conference, when he talked about the possibility of an international Super Bowl and reiterated that he wouldn't want to take a Super Bowl to a city that doesn't have a team, but he can see an international franchise one day, that still kind of gets you a little bit excited. But I think more realistically, look, we've already had announced for this year the 3 games in London, Spain, Germany. We are expecting that there'll be potentially games in Mexico and Brazil as well if the stadiums have been sorted there. Still waiting on an announcement about Dublin. We're hoping maybe that comes this week, fingers crossed. So you have as many as 8 games internationally this season.
Yep.
And I really feel like the point of this move to 17 games in a season is if we can get to a point where it's 8 home games, 8 road games, and every team plays one neutral site game, whether that is London, whether that's Japan, Australia, whether that's Canada, Mexico, or even if it's like college towns. Like, can you imagine if they played like Lions Vikings in the
Don't
big
say
house?
Tuscaloosa.
Or if they played like, you know, or if they took it to loads of those great cities in the south where there are like these huge college stadiums that hold over 100,000 people, but they've never had an NFL team. Like, that would be magical. So I that's the direction from speaking to people at the league. I feel like they're going in. But as always with the NFL, they'll follow the money. And if the money says franchise, then that's the direction they'll end up going in, right?
So you said 49 was your first Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So this is your 10th Super Bowl?
This is my 10th. I missed the one in Tampa Bay for COVID reasons. Yeah. I could have stayed over in Mexico for 7 nights, locked up in a hotel, and then flown to Florida. But you know what? Didn't sound like my bag particularly, so I covered it from back home.
So you've not been to one in New Orleans because we have to go back 11 years, and you haven't been through the whole experience of a Super Bowl in New Orleans yet. But you've been here a couple days now. What's your feeling and your thoughts of how New Orleans is hosting it versus the 9 other cities you've been to?
So I'm a huge fan of New Orleans in advance. I think I have to say that's like, I have to caveat it. I've been here. I was here for when WrestleMania was here for 34. I've been here a couple other times separately. I've seen WrestleMania in the Superdome, and I've been to an LSU game, and I've been to a Tulane game. I've never seen football played in the Superdome. So from a personal NFL geek perspective, I cannot wait. The first snap of football I see in the Superdome, I'll be commentating on, which is wild to think about. But look, New Orleans is a city I love the food. I love the people. Like, the culture here, like, I've never got in a cab or have a conversation with someone outside a bar or, like, that hasn't been just wonderfully friendly, that hasn't been so welcoming. I always tell people, like, this is my favorite, like, definitely my favorite American party city, I think. But, I haven't had a chance. I've been here for 2 days now. And on my previous 3 visits, I think the earliest I'd ever been to bed was maybe 4 a.m. This has been my most...
The earliest.
Exactly. This has been my most sensible visit so far. And yet...
Oh, we got to change that tonight.
We'll change that tonight. I think we might hit Frenchman Street afterwards, find some live music. I haven't seen any live music yet, barring what they had on opening night. Like, I'm trying to get the sweats about it. I need to get out and experience the culture.
You're working.
So, I love it. I love New Orleans. You know, it's interesting. I can only imagine.
You were saying about the love for football over there. I was watching a news broadcast, and they were down in the London Financial District, and they're live on the street, right? And as I'm watching it, I see people with football NFL jerseys on walking. in the back, and it kind of just it blew me away.
There's definitely this really funny thing where, like, if you see somebody in like a Raiders hat or a Giants hat, you're not sure if that's just like a style thing, if that's just like
they want to be one of the cool kids.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. They've seen Ice Cube wear it, and so they went, is that cool? No, I think that's a dated reference now at this point. But like, they just like, it's a thing
we've looked
into. But the amount of times, I'll tell you what always blows me away about the London games is that you will genuinely see representatives of all 32 teams there. And like, I saw a Tim Couch Browns jersey in a bar the other day. Like, that's a thing that happened in London. Like, I don't know if he was wearing it as a bet or like he'd lost his fantasy league or something. But like, it is.
Yeah, what made him decide? Yeah, I'm gonna pull out the old Tim Couch jersey.
I don't know, but like, it's so fascinating. I always love hearing from British fans as how they got into the NFL, how they picked their team. They did. Some people have really like close familial connections, or it's the first game they saw live. I literally know a guy who's followed the Titans for 20 years because he drew them out of a hat when we were at university, and yet now he like will they when they play the Texans and the Titans wear those awful Oilers jerseys which get everyone so angry, he'll like be banging the table for it. So and it's just like,
does he own one of those
wild
powder blue jerseys?
He does, very much so. He's got a DeAndre Hopkins one, I think, which actually we've got hanging up by our stand over there as part of our
well people
display.
Are calling in, they want to know, can they are you is your broadcast of the Super Bowl going to be streaming? Can people listen to you call the Super Bowl on Sunday?
So they can via TalkSport this year as part of our kind of dedication to trying to grow the NFL. Like, it's not to kind of blow the horn, because none of this is my work, but TalkSport's huge in the UK. I think they've got like 8 million followers across all the different social channels and everything else. But we decided to launch our own NFL YouTube channel this year. So it's a very small channel at the moment. It's growing. It's getting there. All our exclusive stuff from this week on Radio Row will go on there, for example. But we are going to be live streaming a watch-along style, like camera on the commentary team during the
game. Right, because you can't show the game.
Yeah, exactly.
But so we'll be able to see you calling the Super Bowl.
It'll be me, a guy called Jeff Reinbold, a college football coach at Hawaii. But he's like a broadcasting legend in the UK. Like, he's been on TV in the UK for years. He's coached in the EFL and like Greg Rosenthal from NFL Daily from the NFL Network. So the three of us in the booth, and then for the second half, Charlie Smith, the Saints Irish place kicker, will be joining us to join us for play by play for the second half. So,
and what's that YouTube channel?
It's TalkSport End Zone, because the NFL won't let us use NFL. I'm going to keep banging on about that all week and hope they let us.
TalkSport
End Zone. You can find all of our content there. You can see that the face very much doesn't match the voice, and that I am clearly going to enjoy the fry food immediately after this.
Yeah, I think people will be shocked by the bright red beard that is covering this man's face and the really good blonde hair on top. All right.
guys, it's been really good fun. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today. We really appreciate it. I mean, it's really interesting to hear how, you know, Europeans are embracing the sport.
I want to know how you got the nickname the Sheriff.
I was the Sheriff.
You actually were the Sheriff?
Yes.
Yes.
And that's wild. I thought it was
we actually convinced him to leave. 40 years in law enforcement, Sheriff of Jefferson Parish, the largest municipality in Louisiana. And our program director and brand manager called him and said, "Do you want to be on the radio?" And he left that to join us.
Love that.
Absolutely.
And that just shows the pull that you have, Dave.
I had nothing to do with it.
And it's been a lot of fun, quite frankly, as you well know, because you've been in it a long time.
Oh, yeah. At no point. I've had to convince my wife. We had twins this year. And to convince my wife to let me go to New Orleans for 9 days while she's at home with like eight.
That was a negotiation,
twins.
Right?
Oh,
honey, I'm
going to
be working. Working and working.
Yeah, yeah. I am going to be feeling that one for at least the next 2 to 3 years.
It's worth it.
It is, you know, these are 15, 16-hour days. We're genuinely exhausted at the end of it. Like, I'm going to have to stop doing interviews around Friday because otherwise I'm going to lose my voice before Sunday.
Right.
And yet, to describe this as work would be an absolute farce.
Yes. Well, we'll see you at the media party tonight.
Oh, yeah. Yes, you will.
Will Gavin, TalkSport Radio UK. You can catch him on the YouTube channel as he broadcasts his 10th now. Isn't that 10?
Third one calling play-by-play, but 10th doing the Super Bowl.
Right, well, you said Blimey was a big hit. Maybe working, hello, Governor, somewhere along the way. You want to be really stereotypical.
I'll make notes.
There you go.
Do not take my advice.
We'll be right back.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Coca-Cola, 7-Up, Dr. Pepper, and Polar Seltzer, selected varieties and sizes, buy two and get three free of equal or lesser value, plus CRV. Limit 3 free items. USDA Choice Bone-In Ribeye Steak, $7.97 per pound. Limit 2 packages. Creamy Hass Avocados, 77 cents each. Limit 4 items. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Folks, stay with us. Welcome back, folks. We're on Media Row at the host committee booth here at the convention center, having a great time, trying to bring a bunch of different things to you, different flavor of the game, perspective of the game. We just visited with Will Gavin, TalkSport Radio UK, who's now in line waiting to get some catfish along with a whole host of other sports broadcasters as well.
They have New Orleans-style and Louisiana-style
catfish. There you go. So we're joined by Dustin Likens at Fesco and Dusty Show, 96.5 Fan Radio in Kansas City. We know who he's pulling for. Welcome to the show.
Right. Yeah, no, I appreciate that. Always going to pull for the hometown crowd. It's been great the last 3 years. Or at least the last 2 years. So, we'll play a game on Sunday, and I'm sure that, you know, all of our theories and all of our projections will go out the window because it'll be a Super Bowl. It'll be, you know, I think what we were talking about off the air, I think it'll be a close game. I mean, there's superstars everywhere. There's legacy games for everybody. And, you know, is this the last one for 87, or is this, you know, one more ride? Here we go. So we'll see what happens.
Any pressure, you think, with this three-peat momentum talk chatter?
Is it helping or hurting?
I don't – it's weird because Andy's got such a tight niche, like a lid on a pickle jar. Like, not a lot of stuff gets in there. And, like, working in the media, you know, it's tough to get these guys, you know, off their game. And somebody mentioned in a press conference the other day that Andy Reid was a finalist for Coach of the Year. The fact that he's won that once, and it's been over 20 years since he's won it, is ridiculous. I don't know how much time you have. But, you know, he didn't even know. He was like, you could have made that
baby,
up.
Go ahead, just vent.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, literally. It's one of those things where I think that when you look at this game and you think about, you know, what the perspective is and where this team is and the pressure maybe, you think, but I mean, hell, 15 for that quarterback. He's come from behind in his first year in a playoff run, or second year, I should say, three different times, including the Super Bowl, and won. Played Philadelphia 2 years ago, was behind, and won. Played last year against the San Francisco 49ers, who kind of the same narrative this year. They had Debo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk, George Kittle, and Christian McCaffrey. Mm-hmm. This Philadelphia team on offense is loaded. Devonta Smith, A.J. Brown, Saquon Barkley, Dallas Goedert. Last year, Kittle, Ayuk, and Debo combined for 85 total yards, and McCaffrey fumbled on their first drive.
Yeah.
Why can't that happen here for the Philadelphia Eagles? Again, same narrative. Great receivers, great running back, good tight end. Can Jalen Hurts lead this team?
It's all about peaking at the right time.
Yeah.
You know, the kind of the mantra inside of the locker room, trying to figure out what the feelings are there. They always seem to be pretty squared up. I mean, the media tries to, like you said, interject themselves and create issues. We were talking about the Taylor Swift effect, you know, whether love, hate, or both. Love,
yeah,
hate,
I even
relationship.
Have a necklace around my thigh. Now. Yeah,
one of the friendship bracelets.
No, it's just I got that, but I got the. I got
oh, you
the,
got that too.
I've got the actual. I've got the actual like chain around my thigh, like she had the Grammys, and it says 87.
Oh, we can't see. He's got pants on.
I figured I'd be professional on a show here in New Orleans where you guys have welcomed us so kindly.
Do Chiefs fans love or hate the whole Taylor Swift thing?
Oh, they love her. I think they didn't at first. I think it was divided. And then I think some guys started riding around their car, and they're like, who the hell is this? And then the girls are like, Dad, that's who's on TV. Oh, okay. And then when you start to hate the Chiefs in Kansas City and you're from out of town, people will say, well, I don't care who she is now. She's part of us. You don't have her, so you hate us because you ain't us, right?
Like, right, yeah.
And that's a weird thing to say out loud and hear in your ears. I didn't say
otherwise
anus.
Known
yeah.
as jealousy.
That's, yeah.
And, gotta enunciate, Dusty.
Yeah, and there used to be a guy in the WWE named Enzo Amore, and he would say, you know, certified G, bona fide stud. That's what Travis Kelce is. That's what Taylor Swift is. And, you know, there's a couple of haters out there, and that's fine. But when you come after the Chiefs, they gear up all around everybody. And now you got dads in their 40s in the middle of the suburbs of Kansas City singing, you know, All Too Well and Blank Space and, you know, Shake It Off. You're like, how do you know every word? You know, you taught me about Bruce Springsteen and John Fogerty and these guys. And now you're singing Taylor Swift bops, man. Like, come on now.
All right, so Taylor is one of yours now.
For
she,
sure.
She belongs.
For
you
sure.
call it the Chiefs there's, Nation?
That's right. Well, they call it the Chiefs Kingdom.
Chiefs
in King.
Oh, they don't have a nation. They have a kingdom.
I call it the Red Dawn, but I'm a little bit of a dramatic person. So,
all right.
Yeah.
How are you enjoying your time in New Orleans?
It's awesome, man. It's my first time here. It's my first Super Bowl I've ever covered with the station.
Everything's going to be a letdown after this.
Oh, yeah. I've said in Kansas City, home of the barbecue capital, that Creole food is the most underrated, disrespected food in the – it's everyone's like, oh, I love Chinese food. I love Mexican food. I love Italian. I love Southern comfort. You know, Midwest – the hell with that, dude. I've had a po' boy. After this, I'm going to get the beignets.
Some fried catfish
over here. Some pimento cheese or whatever that was as well. Spicy pimento cheese. I'm already not where I should be weight-wise. If I'm here, I'm in trouble, man. I'm wearing nothing but joggers and stretch pants down here. I knew the script. But, man, this town is great. Everybody's great. I love the accents. Like, we did an interview the other day. We went to Mother's. Yeah. And ate. And he was like, all right, now, you know, you need to get this now. You put your plate down now, and then you just enjoy. And I was like, I would talk like that if I was here for 3 months. That's one of the coolest accents I've ever heard. Like, the guy you had on before me, British accent, get lost. You know, I'll take the Louisiana accent every day of the week, man. I love it, man. I used to watch Swamp People. That's how connected I was.
All right.
Shoot the gator, you know, like, get me into that.
Shoot him.
It will be, you know, every week's not like this, obviously, in New Orleans.
Yeah, you guys
but
are
it's not, but it's not that different.
I mean,
we tell people if they come down for Mardi Gras, when they come back the next time, if it's not Mardi Gras, they'll still have a hell of a lot of fun, but it's not quite as dramatic. Same thing with Super Bowl. I mean, this is New Orleans on steroids.
Yeah, guys get this thing go right into Mardi Gras. Yeah.
Yes.
Like our Uber
Four
driver.
4 weeks from today is Fat Tuesday.
That's nuts. Our Uber driver last night, we were like, how's the Super Bowl treating? He goes, this is the appetizer. We're like, come again? He's like, yeah, it's Super Bowl this week, and then Monday we start the festivities. And I'm like, man, he's like, they're doing a parade down here. They're doing this. I was like, oh, my gosh, man. You need like
a lot of fun.
I don't even smoke cigarettes. I thought about buying a pack just to be out here, you know, pop a few and let it go. So might have to get a medicinal card, too, while I'm at it.
So let's talk football a little bit.
Yeah, get back
in your estimation, what needs to happen for the Chiefs?
To win?
Yes.
There's a guy that wears 26 in green. That's a big problem. But where they're a little bit soft is up the middle, right? Their center's banged up. Their left guard's banged up. There's two guys that play defensive line for the Kansas City Chiefs, and it's Charles Omenihu, so remember that name, number 90, and obviously Chris Jones.
Right.
Those guys can wreak havoc, and when you put your focus on those two guys and bridge that, you're going to see Carl Loftus come off the edge. You're going to see guys like Mike Dana, who's not really a known name outside of Kansas City, who can be a physical presence. The kid they drafted 2 years ago in the first round, Felix Nduke Uzama from Kansas State, he'll play in there for some roles and kind of mix things up. Spagnuolo knows how to dial it up. That's all we've heard this weekend is dial it up. It's like 1-800-COLLECT-CALLS back in the day. Like, who dials anymore, right? But Spags does. So if the Chiefs are going to be successful, you put the ball in Jalen Hurts' hand, make him make a play. If I were to go down at the end of the Super Bowl and the Chiefs don't win a three-peat and somebody says, Jalen Hurts beat you with 2 minutes left in the game, I'd be shocked. If somebody were to tell me Saquon Barkley had 150 and two touchdowns, I'd be like, it was their year. This man did 2,000 yards. There's a reason why they're here. They did what they exactly want to do. That's how they would win. And if Kansas City wins, you give the ball to Patrick Mahomes with 2 minutes left in the game, up or down, nobody's getting that ball back.
The one thing I've always found intriguing with Spags is that he's able to get stuff out of like reserve players, second, you know, whatever you want to call
them. Not superstars.
You know, not the starters, the non-starters. He gets things out of them that I don't think a lot of other coaches do.
Yeah, he's got an attitude or a mantra that is you play your position at your skill set. And we had Gerald McCoy on who played for Tampa as well and he knows a lot about Spags. And he said that's the most important thing is trusting your personnel to do what they can do. Don't try to make a guy play D-end who's known to be a D-tackle, right? And with the different names that come out, there was an event, I don't know if you guys are WWE fans, there was a Royal Rumble this past weekend. And you know how they do the countdown and then all of a sudden somebody comes out and you're like, oh my God, like this, okay, here comes CM Punk or here comes, you know, these guys. It's like, Turk Wharton? He's the number 22 guy in the Rumble, and somehow he's there with like The Rock and Cena. And you're like, well, I know this guy's not going to be the one at the end of the match, but it's weird to see him, and he throws somebody out that you didn't expect. That's kind of like how Spags' thing is. And then out of nowhere, here comes the face of the team, Trent McDuffie, who did a disguised blitz, and it ruined Josh Allen's game two weeks ago.
Yeah. You like the line of Chiefs by 1.5? Does that sound right to you?
I would like it if they were underdogs. Well. Right, and every time they are, they seem to be all right. Vic Fangio, 0-8 against Patrick Mahomes in his career. Patrick Mahomes undefeated in dome play. The Chiefs have a pretty good playoff record. I think they've won 9 in a row in the playoffs. Something's got to give. It's either Saquon Barkley or it's history, and I don't know what part of the side you're on. You guys are neutral fans maybe, or maybe not, but do you want to see greatness? Like, as a kid, I wanted to see Tiger Woods surpass Jack. Love Tiger Woods. I haven't gotten there yet. But every time he's in a major, damn it, I'm at the edge of my seat going, just get to Saturday, Tiger. Just get to Saturday. And maybe we can get there. If Patrick does this, I mean, it's like, well, we've never seen this before. Like, Tom's still, to me, going to be the GOAT. He's still going to be that guy.
Brady,
Patrick Mahomes has time on his side. But this is a major step because when they lost to Tampa, they said he'll never catch him unless – unless he wins somehow three in a row. Here we are 3 years later.
So this would be his fourth, but Brady has six.
Seven, I think.
So, yeah, okay. Yeah. But if he does the three-peat, he's got to be in the GOAT conversation.
He's in the conversation. If he wins the three-peat, it's Brady, Mahomes, and then everybody else, which is insane to think there's Drew Brees, Peyton Manning, Joe Montana, and they're not even mentioned. And it's Mahomes at 29, and it's Tom Brady, who's been done in football for 2 years, announcing and part of the Raiders. And you're like, this is it, and we have 10 more years of Patrick Mahomes to go catch Tom Brady. So, again, it's insane what we're watching. It's not tiresome. It's not boring. It's just like, what's he going to do next? What's the conversation or the narrative going to be around Patrick Mahomes?
So let's assume for a moment Chiefs win.
Okay.
A lot of changes on that roster?
I think so. Trey Smith at right guard is a name to look out for because he slipped in the draft due to health concerns. He didn't get his draft day money that he probably could have gotten. He's a big name in football that can protect quarterbacks. There's a team in Chicago that's got some Chiefs ties that have changed a lot. There's a guy on the defense plays middle linebacker, Nick Bolton, contract year. There's a guy in Justin Reed. Is this the end for him? This team right now, currently rostered in their Super Bowl 2 years ago, has seven active players on that team, two of which are the kicker and the long snapper, which means there's five players that really mean a darn that actually are on this roster that were there 2 years ago. So there will be a roster turnover. This is football. The windows open, the windows close. Luckily, we have the trust in Brett Veach to kind of always give you the foreshadowing of what they're going to do next by looking at the year before his draft. If there's a tackle, a tight end, and a linebacker, you can kind of see the writing on the wall that where they think something's going to happen. So there will be roster turnover. You can count on that.
Well, that's got to be the most impressive thing about this Chiefs and their the kingdom, that they've been able to stay at the top for three consecutive years in this era of free agency and everything else, that they've been able to consistently fill the holes, plug the gaps, and three Super Bowls in a row. I mean, the Bills did four in a row, but that was a totally different era in football.
Yeah, and it's amazing.
And they lost all four, by the way.
It's amazing when you think about this, too, because every year the Chiefs have something that is their downfall. They fix it in the draft with Brett Veach. They lost that Super Bowl to Tampa Bay, got blown out. Offensive line was trash. Went out and signed Joe Tooney, drafted Creed Humphrey, drafted Trey Smith. The next year, after they lose to the – or not the next year. Yeah, maybe it was the next – no, yeah, the next year they lose to Cincinnati in the playoffs. Couldn't get pressure to Burrow. Couldn't cover wide receivers. What did they do? They drafted Trent McDuffie, Isaiah Pacheco, George Karlaftis, Leo Chenal, Brian Cook. All of those guys have not lost a playoff game, have two Super Bowl rings, and are just draft picks from Brett Veach.
That's pretty phenomenal.
It's insane.
Unbelievable. They drafted that well.
All of them are, and Trent McDuffie's what, the second best corner in football? Karlaftis is good. Not great. He's good. But it's things like that that Brett Veach does because, you know, the window's 3 years. I'm going to see what Detroit does next year. They lost all their coaching staff. Everybody's getting older. Contracts are starting to show up. And it's like, can you stay dominant? Not only can you stay dominant, can you stay relevant? And the Chiefs have not only stayed relevant, they went 15-2 after winning back-to-back Super Bowls, and people still find reason to doubt them.
Well, we know better than any city in the NFL that if you have the right coach and the right quarterback, the rest of the problems can usually be fixed with the right general manager. And Kansas City has definitely perfected that three-legged stool.
Yeah, this is a game against, you know, a lot of talent, but there's two of the best general managers in this game that are like, my roster versus your roster, let's see what happens. Because they're playing chess and everybody else is playing checkers when it comes to the draft and developing teams. So it'll be interesting. I think we will have a dynamite game. I think we'll have a lot of fun.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah,
really,
we appreciate you. And New Orleans is great, guys.
We'll see you at the media party tonight.
That's right. I'll be here tonight. I'll be the one walking
Dustin
sideways.
Likens Fesco and the Dusty Show, 96.5 Fan. Kansas City.
Kansas
if you want to hear
City.
It, you can go to the Odyssey app and pick up their show.
Yeah, that's right. 5 The Fan. Thanks, Dusty.
Hey, appreciate you guys. Thank you.
Thank you so much. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us. Welcome back, folks. We got the opportunity to tell some special interest stories in and around the NFL, and this one's a very interesting story. I was doing some research on it, knowing that these two gentlemen would join us this morning. There's a limited documentary miniseries called Beneath the Shadow. And it's a story that transcends the game of football and all of
sports. It's an account of one family's shattering loss, their forgiveness despite unanswered questions, and the most remarkable of opportunities to actually restore a legacy. It's about a football player named Jim Tyre. And we're joined by the director of the miniseries, Kevin Patrick Allen, and the producer, Eric Frith. And gentlemen, thank you for joining us.
Hey, it's great to be here.
Thank you.
So, Kevin, lay the groundwork for the story about Jim Tyre.
Sure. Jim Tyre was a first ballot. He was going to be a shoe-in on first ballot in 1980.
Into the Hall of Fame.
Into the Hall of Fame. He was, you mentioned his stats. He was the guy that protected Lynn Dawson. Lynn Dawson credited Jim for getting him into the Hall of Fame. He was 6'6", as much as 320 during his playing career, which was enormous during the 60s.
And that was before Refrigerator Perry and the big guys that we see today.
Right.
He was the original refrigerator.
He was a pioneer at left tackle, because you're talking about a man that's very agile and quick, and yet he's enormous. And also, he was known for his head size. His head was so big that the Chiefs in Ohio State before that didn't have a helmet that would fit him. They would have to saw the helmet down the middle and retrofit a strip down the middle to get around his enormous, cranium.
Noggin, yeah.
And that worked to his benefit and to the Chiefs' benefit during those 14 years, because linemen could not use their hands. So what do you use? You use your head.
Big head.
And with a man that played 180 consecutive starts at left tackle. He's not a punter. He's 180 at left tackle. He used that head a lot and used it effectively. And, but in 1980, this beloved man who's just everybody in town had great things to say about him. In the middle of the night, he kills his wife. He kills himself. The kids are in the house. They hear it. They see it. And I got introduced to the kids about 5 years ago, and I was off.
How old were the kids at the time?
So at the time, the kids were 19, 17, 12, and 11.
Oh, goodness.
So the belief is that he suffered from chronic traumatic encephalopathy.
Correct.
And it's something that's been the talk within the NFL for a long time.
Yeah, and I think really the truth of the matter is he had plausible deniability, because until 2005, we haven't even defined what CTE is. So this man has been gone for, 25 years at that point, and even though you see all the symptoms, all the telltale signs, you can say, well, we don't have the brain. Maybe the guy was just evil.
But never that had ever revealed itself through the course of his life.
No, not prior to just near the end of his life. Everyone was noticing in his immediate circle and family there was a change, quick change, that they couldn't identify. No one knew. This was 1980 when it happened. 1981, he's on the Hall vote, and of course, quickly off of the vote.
Right.
Besides being a shoe-in, 44 years later, here we are. And a lot of that is to Kevin, who's sitting here with us, did some investigating into the story as we've been working on Beneath the Shadow for 5 years. Finds the doctor that saw Jim and his wife Martha 2 days before the murder-suicide. And now, posthumously, is saying there's no question he checks every box. And that, and along with a lot of other information that we've received, got that information out through an op-ed and other sources to voters. And he got close last year, and now this year he's one of the finalists. And we're going to find out in a couple days.
We're running out of time, but I want to make sure we talk about this quickly. Where are we at today with the NFL and efforts to protect players and their brains so that we never have a Jim Tyre situation again?
So we've seen this really as we're telling a family story, and we're not going into, what the NFL has done or hasn't. We see it more as, now that you know about many of these players, because obviously the fact that you discovered in 2005 doesn't mean it began then.
Right.
There's a lot of these players that you owe it to them to honor their memories, as opposed to, hey, I'm not going to vote for the guy. I don't want to talk about it. This is messy. we're looking at the family component of it and how that negative approach has impacted the kids.
And the kids have been a huge force in this as well, working with you guys, right?
They're amazing. They're amazing people, every one of them. Due to their family values, their grandparents raising them, have become amazing contributors in every aspect. Wonderful people who are not campaigning for their father's induction. They just feel like what needs to happen, it should happen on his merits. And if you do the research, what kind of a man he was.
Where will people be able to see Beneath the Shadow?
So right now, we're still obviously in production as we wait for the answer Thursday. But we've been working on it for 5 years. It's nearly done. We've been talking with a couple of potential distributors. That's still yet to be decided. We're still courting others if they're interested.
Netflix, if you're listening.
If you're listening. But there's a lot of interest, obviously. It's an amazing story.
Nine Pro Bowls, six first-team All-Pro selections, Super Bowl IV champion, three-time AFL champion, All-Decade team, 1970 Offensive Lineman of the Year, 14-year career, 180 consecutive starts. I don't know that there's a left tackle ever inducted into the Hall of Fame that has that many consecutive starts.
There isn't.
He's known as the greatest player not inducted.
Gentlemen, thank you so much. We look
forward.
Hopefully,
best of luck to both of you.
Hopefully he gets in this year. And hopefully we're talking to you again when we find out where we can watch this amazing story that you've just shared with us here on WWL. Newell and I are back from the Convention Center on Media Row at the New Orleans Host Committee booth after this.
Welcome back, folks. When we come back after the top of the hour news break, we're going to try and grab some of our folks that are flowing through here. I love this.
This is so much fun.
Yeah, you know, and we'll also visit with J.P. Morrell. We'll talk about the proclamation that they issued for February 5th and the Terry Bradshaw Day in the city.
And we hear
New
Terry
Orleans.
Is either going to be here today or tomorrow, and we think we're going to get him. You know what I've been watching? Everyone's getting the catfish, and they're taking pictures of it and posting it to their social media because they love this catfish so much. That is catfish at work right there.
Catfish at work. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nix, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Nix Menswear, your friend in style.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+. And we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.